rasa vishita cheta sho bhagavata paramahamsa daita katam kinchit antaraja vihatam svam shivatam padavim na prajena kinvanti shishuka uvacha vadam uttam bhagavata utamai shloka shicha shimaj vadam uttam bhagavata utamai shloka shya shimaj charanaravinda makandara saveshita chevasho bhagavata charanaravinda makarandara saveshita charasho bhagavata chetasho paramahamsa daita katam kinchit anantaraja vihalam svam Paramahamsa daita katyam kinchit antaraja vihatam svam. Shivatam padavimna prajena hinvanti. Shivatamam padavimna prajena hinvanti. Shishuka uvacha Vadam uktam bhagavata utama shloka shashimaj Charanaravinda makandara saveshita chetasho bhagavata Paramahamsa daita katam hinchidantaraja vihatam svam Shivatam padavimna prajena hinvanti. Prabhu says. Vacham. Padavina prajena hinvanti Shri Shuka Uvacha, Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Badam, correct, Uktam, what you have said, Bhagavata, of the personality of Godhead, Uttama Shlokasya, who is praised with excellent verses. Srila Charanaravinda of the feet, which are just like the most beautiful fragrant lotus flowers. Pregnant lotus flowers. Makaranda, honey. Ray, rashe, in the nectar. Aveshita, absorbed. Chetavash, whose hearts. Bhagavata, to the devotees. Paramahamsa, liberated persons. Daita, pleasing. Katam, glorification. Kinchit, sometimes. Antaraja, by impediments. Vihattam, checked. Swam, own. Shivatamam, most exalted. Odavim, position. Na, do not. Prajena, almost always. Hinvanti, give up. Translation. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, what you have said is correct. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised in eloquent transcendental verses by such exalted personalities as Brahma, are very pleasing to great devotees and liberated persons. One who is attached to the nectarian honey of the Lord's lotus feet and whose mind is always absorbed in his glories may sometimes be checked by some impediment, but he still never gives up the exalted position he has acquired. Purport of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Shukadeva Goswami accepted both of the king's propositions, that a person who is advanced in Krishna consciousness cannot embrace materialistic life again, and that one who has embraced materialistic life cannot take up Krishna consciousness at any stage of his existence. Although accepting both those statements, Srila Shukadeva Goswami qualified them by saying that a person who has one absorbed in mind in the glories of Srila, of Supreme Personality of Godhead, may sometimes be influenced by impediments, but he still does not give up his exalted devotional position. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, there are two kinds of impediments to devotional service. The first is an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. This is called Vaishnava Parad. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned his devotees not to commit Vaishnava Parad, which he described as the mad elephant offense. When a mad elephant enters a beautiful garden, it destroys everything, leaving a barren field. Similarly, the power of Vaishnava Parad is so great that even an advanced devotee becomes almost devoid of his spiritual assets if he commits it. Since Krishna consciousness is eternal, it cannot be destroyed altogether, but advancement may be checked for the time being. Thus, Vaishnava Parad is one kind of impediment to devotional service. Sometimes, however, the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee desires to impede one's devotional service. For example, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were formerly Jaya and Vijaya, the gatekeepers in Vaikuntha, but by the desire of the Lord, they became his enemies for three lives. Thus, the desire of the Lord is another kind of impediment, but in both cases, the pure devotee, once advanced in Krishna consciousness, cannot be lost. Following the orders of the superiors, Svayambhuva and Lord Brahma, Priyavrata accepted family life, but this did not mean that he lost his position in devotional service. Krishna consciousness is perfect and eternal, and therefore it cannot be lost under any circumstances. Because the material world is full of obstructions to advancement in Krishna consciousness, there may appear to be many impediments, yet Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, declares in Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Kaunteya Partijanti Name Bhakta Shpanashyanti. Once one has taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, he cannot be lost. In this verse, the word Shivatam is very significant. Shivatam means the most auspicious. The devotional path is so auspicious that a devotee cannot be lost under any circumstances. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam Gita, in Bhagavad Gita, by the Lord Himself. Partha naiveha natuda vinashash tasya vidyate. My dear Arjuna, for a devotee there is no question of being lost, either in this life or in the next life, or the next. Bhagavad Gita 6:40. In Bhagavad Gita 6:43, the Lord clearly explains how this is so. Tatra tam buddhi samjogam dabdate purya dehikam jayate satato buyak samshido kuru nandanak. By the order of the Lord, a perfect devotee sometimes comes to this material world like an ordinary human being. Because of this previous practice, such a perfect devotee naturally becomes attached to devotional service, apparently without cause. Despite all kinds of impediments due to surrounding circumstances, he automatically perseveres in devotional service and gradually advances until he once again becomes perfect. Bilva Mangala Thakur, he had been an advanced devotee in his previous life, but in his next life he became greatly fallen and was attracted to a prostitute. Suddenly, however, his entire behavior was changed by the words of very prostitute who had so much attracted him, and he became a great devotee. In the lives of exalted devotees, there are many such instances proving that once one has taken to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, he cannot be lost. Kaunteya Pratijanti Name Bhakta Pranashyanti. The fact is, however, that one becomes a devotee when he is completely freed from all reactions on sinful life. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 7:28, Yesham Tri Antagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam Tedvapsa Moha Nirusha Bhajante Mam Trita Vrata. Person who have acted piously in previous lives and in his life, those sinful actions are completely eradicated, and who are freed from the duality of illusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. On the other hand, as Prahlad Maharaj said, Matir na Krishna pranatak svatova mito vipajena grivataratam griha vratanam. A person who is too attached to materialistic family life, home, family life, children and so on, cannot develop Krishna consciousness. These apparent contradictions are resolved in the life of a devotee by the grace of the Supreme Lord, and therefore a devotee is never beneath of his position on the path of liberation, which is described in this verse as Shivatamam Pradavam. Translation, one more time. Shishukadev Goswami said, what you have said is correct. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised in eloquent transcendental verses by such exalted personalities as Brahma, are very pleased to great devotees and liberated persons. One who is attached to the nectarian honey of the Lord, lotus feet, and whose mind is always absorbed in glories, may sometimes be checked by some impediments, but he still never gives up the exalted position he says acquired. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishta Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deva Goravarun Pacharini Nivishesha Shinyavadi Pachatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadatara Shiva Sadi Gora Bhaktavarinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare, Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhupya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, first of all, it's very interesting verse for those who like to memorize verses, because it doesn't go into ordinary form, or it's a little bit longer. So that, there is the whole wisdom is there written in this verse, and it's really amazing the way how Srila Shukadeva Goswami start giving explanation, giving answer to Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit, he has confusion that Priyavrata, who was the great, the pure devotee of the Lord, in his eyes did something what was not usual and what he didn't count as the act of purity. He got married. So he had confusion, and he asked Shukadeva Goswami, okay, how is that such a great personality, such a great devotee, such was Priyavrata, he just decided to change ashram. He got married. And then Srila Shukadeva Goswami explained to Maharaj Parikshit. He start now explanation with this verse, and explanation is going further in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in this chapter, that actually is not that only advance, that only we can reach perfection in the spiritual life if we are alone in devotional service. That's not the case, especially not with the Vaishnava path, especially not with this what we are trying to follow now. Anybody in any ashram has opportunity and chance to become pure and to go back to Godhead without exceptions, including grihasthas, including vanaprasthas, including kshatriyas, including sannyasis. On the absolute level, we are all on the same platform. And only what counts really is purity of the heart and desire to serve the Lord. So whoever chooses to be in certain ashram, he has to follow regulations of that particular ashram. You have a good grihasthas and bad grihasthas. A good brahmacharis, bad brahmacharis. A good vanaprasthas, bad. Bad means those who are not following everything on the right way. So it doesn't matter in which ashram we are. Only what matters is how we follow the regulations of ashram, and also what it counts is actually how much we surrender to the Lord. So here it's written that according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, there are two kinds of impediments to devotional service. The first one and the most dangerous one is what is called the Vaishnava Parad. You're all familiar with that, with Vaishnava Parad. So today I will take this opportunity to put a little bit of highlight on different aspects which we are not thinking every day about regarding Vaishnava Parad, and how we should avoid Vaishnava Parad. It's very well written and explained actually in Shastras how we come up to stage to commit a Vaishnava Parad, what it caused that, and also there is the way, there is explanation how we can go out of that, because Vaishnava Parad is really worse than curse, than any kind of curse. If somebody commits Vaishnava Parad, it can suffer for many millions of lives. It's not a joke at all. It's very, very, very serious aspect of devotional service. There are many, many previous situations, many, many Vaishnavas in the past who really never didn't recover from Vaishnava Parad, who fell down and never came back. I mean, even if here is explained that actually whoever starts devotional service, whoever starts this path, it never gives up. It's always under the mercy of the Lord. Still, who commit Vaishnava Parad, losing a taste. And without taste, we are not going back, maybe, but we are not going in front. We are not advancing in devotional service. And that's something what is really, really dangerous. That means that we can maintain one position, one kind of stage for many, many lives, for many, many yugas. And that's something what is really not so good condition. Because devotees, they already develop certain way, certain detachment to material things. And they cannot enjoy, devotee cannot enjoy in material life on the same way how karmi can enjoy. Because karmis, they are professionals. They just think about that. They have devotional service towards maya, towards illusion. And they are trying to be very good followers. And they are dedicated to satisfy the five senses. But devotees, they already know for the higher taste. They all know what is better. And when they stop journeying one time trying to enjoy materially, it's very hard for them because they don't feel the same taste as karmis. Something is there, but it's not same. Because there is also a consciousness and develop connection with the Krishna in the heart. So it's very hard. You can try to trick somebody else. Many devotees in the past, they tried to trick Krishna also, in Krishna Lila, in Chaitanya Lila. But we cannot trick ourselves. We cannot trick ourselves, because once you start developing desire for Krishna, once we start developing taste for Krishna, that taste, it never goes away. But taste for devotional service can go away if we commit a Vaishnava parad. And that's something what is really dangerous. It's same like Srila Prabhupada explained one time, in say like watching the glass pot full of honey and you cannot taste it. It's there, you can see it, you can taste only the glass, you cannot taste real honey. It's very dangerous, but in the same time there is the way, even if something like that happened, because it's Kali Yuga, it's reasonable, sometimes we make mistakes, there is the way how we can overcome that, and we will discuss today about it. Okay, so what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned regarding Vaishnava Parad, it's like a mad elephant coming in the beautiful garden. The word mad is very important here. It's not any kind of elephant. We have two very nice, great elephants here. They're not mad and they can go any garden here without doing any kind of damage. But mad elephant, this is something very heavy. You know, before that, when in the previous centuries there were many wars around India here, and they were using elephants as a military power, as a military force. Elephants were trained to be mad. You know, forcibly they were pushing and trained elephants to be warriors. And they have such a professional trainers that those elephants were in control. But sometimes when you don't have a good trainer, then elephants is losing his control. And he, you know, even elephants, they have mind. It's very simple kind of mind, but it's mind. So it could be control, but also sometimes mind just goes away and they become mad, they become crazy elephants. And some wild elephants also in the forests, they're quite wild. So, you know, before we had much more elephants here in those forests around and in Orissa. You know, and you know, sometimes you just met the mad elephant and he's running and he's screaming and it sounds really scary. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he mentioned that committing Vaishnava Parad, it seemed like going in the beautiful garden of devotion. That means we already make the beautiful garden with all prayers, with sadhana, with all different kind of programs which we are trying to follow, with the proper consciousness, with the proper mindset up. And then we allowed mad elephant to enter that garden. It's not that he enters alone. We allowed him to go there. We tell him, okay, come Madi, come, go there. Then mad elephant's coming inside and he destroys everything. Everything. We are not talking about mad ant. You know, ant can go here, and we are talking about mad elephant. Everything is finished. All our prayers, all our spiritual desires, our devotional service, everything what we build up in this life is destroyed. We have to start again. I mean, it's there on the spiritual platform. All our past activities are still there. But the point is, we don't have taste anymore. And we have to start from the beginning. It's not easy, it's very hard. And we have to avoid that as well. Another aspect, it's mentioned that actually in Kali Yuga, the Vaishnava parada or bad thoughts, if we are not selling loud, doesn't count. And I heard many of those before. But I will prove you today that it counts, or it counts very much. And we have to be careful about what we are talking inside with ourselves. You know, because our best friend is us, our mind inside. We are talking all day, even during night. Then after, you know, our relatives, friends, then bigger circles around us. But even with this best friend, with our mind, actually who's supposed to become a best friend, right now he's not in the best stage of the clearance. So even with him, we have to be very careful how much we allowed him, how much we allowed him to talk loud in our head. And I will give you one very clear example from the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about it. So, when the king Priyavrata actually didn't want to get married, it's not that he wanted to do that. And later in this chapter, you will hear explanations how Priyavrata didn't have desire to get married, but then Lord Brahma personally came, called by called by spiritual master of Priyavrata, King Priyavrata, Narada Muni, and he requests Priyavrata to get married. Even in that verse, in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.1.11, Lord Brahma mentioned to Lord Priyavrata, do not be jealous of the Supreme Lord. Do not be jealous of him. He's giving you order. Supreme Lord is giving you personal order to get married, and you reject it. Don't be jealous of the Supreme Lord. Don't think you're smarter than the Lord. It's very important that even when you're on such high levels, it's very hard to hear what the Lord is having to tell us. So all art of devotional service, of art of developing in devotional path is about how to recognize what Krishna is trying to tell us. What Krishna is trying to, how he's trying to take us in this path of devotional service. This is the whole art, really. Krishna is in our heart. Krishna is all around us. Krishna is everywhere, really. Krishna is also this material body. You know, Krishna manifests this external, you know, manifestation, and that's all particles of his material existence. It's not us. Krishna is really everything around us and within us. And we still don't believe him. We still believe we are smarter than him. Why? Because sometimes we are going behind the excuse, okay, I'm not sure that is Krishna. Sometimes we are really not sure. Sometimes we don't ask another devotee. Sometimes we don't ask even ourselves, our intelligence. And we are just making decisions according to desires of our mind. The best way, the best approach, how we can get closer to the Lord and how we can hear his message is actually devotional service. And not any kind of devotional service, but devotional service in the pure stage of mind. What does it mean? That means that we should have and develop a sincere desire to serve the Lord. Once we develop a sincere desire to serve the Lord, then we can hear clearly message of Lord. Not just within us, but also we can hear the message of the Lord all around us. By another devotee is around us, through the spirit message of spiritual master, through the messages of previous acharyas, through shastras. We're going to have open all different senses to absorb the messages. And it's very clear for us what we're supposed to do during the day. You can just try to open perception just for one day and to walk around. We live in the holy place here. You have many devotees who are extremely advanced, who are very much advanced, who are not so advanced, and who are just on the beginning of their devotional path. And just look carefully. You will see you have some devotees who know really well what they're supposed to do during a day, when they're supposed to wake up, what they're supposed to do after that, how they're dealing with the material pleasures and with material offerings during a day, how they put their life together, how they create their desires. It's amazing. It's just amazing. Then it's very clear, you know, different categories of devotees. You know, higher advanced devotees, they are doing everything according to regulations and they are enjoying that. They enjoy waking up early morning. They enjoy taking bath immediately after they wake up. They enjoy in chanting their rounds as much as they can in early morning. They enjoy listening Srimad Bhagavatam. They enjoy reading Bhagavad Gita. It's not that they have to do it. This is not advanced level. I have to do that means that I'm just on beginning and I'm not even devotee yet. I'm just candidate to become a devotee because devotee is something very high. It's not that we are all devotees. We are all candidates to become devotees. But devotee means a pure devotional service. Means devotional service we desire. According to certain explanations, yes, we are devotees. Don't be scared. But according to Shastras, actually, devotee is one very high standard. And we are all trying to become devotees. And that's why we are here. And whoever is here in Mayapur Dham, Vrindavan Dham, Jagannath Puri Dham, we have a really big chance to be successful. Because we don't have so much really material, you know, enjoyments around. There are few, I mean, we always can find, mind is very intelligent for that, to find the material pleasure, even in the Holy Dham. But the point is that it's easier to avoid to go in that trap in the Holy Dham. But what is difficult on the Holy Dham, that we have much more opportunities to make a Vaishnava parad. You know, if you live in some city, some New York or whatever, you can hardly see devotees one time per week for the Sunday feast program or something like that, and you really appreciate, oh, I was driving my taxi whole week and finally I came, I see all beautiful Vaishnavas here, I offering my obeisances, here is donation and everything, I was chanting my rounds, I was doing. So for that part, it's easier there. What we have here, how many devotees you see during a day? A lot. How many devotees you see, they're doing not so pure activities during the day? Few, right? How many times your mind wants to criticize them? Every time. Every single time. That's the nature of the mind. That person doesn't do the right thing right now. Or that person did this and that, and that's really bad. And you know what mind is telling when you said that somebody's really bad? Food. Good. Mind's food is actually to find this thing until mind is not pure. In the bhava, in the level of bhava, mind is pure. You don't have those kind of thoughts anymore. But before bhava, oh yes, mind is also trying to find, you know, his dirty food around. And this is one way of finding it. To criticize people around you. So when you're with karmis, it's more easy. Okay, karmis are dirty. Oh, this guy is eating meat. It's really bad. Oh, this guy is doing that. But what about here? They're all Vaishnavas. 95% of our community is initiated devotees. Right? They all have their spiritual master. They're all connected to Krishna. They all chant rounds. They're all Vaishnavas. And aparat towards that person, we call it how? A Vaishnava aparat. We have to be very careful about that. Never, never we should judge a sinner, but a sin. Never, ever. We should focus on sin. Sin is not good. Sin, something what person commit, if it's not good, it has to be put somewhere. It has to be recognized. It has to be sanctionized, but not the sinner. Because we also sometimes have tendency to develop a habit of criticizing somebody. So even that person is rectified after a certain period of time and it changed his consciousness. And if we know that person deeply enough, we don't know when that stage will happen. And that person is again on the right path. If we again talking bad about that person, we are committing a Vaishnava aparadha. Even during sin, if we criticize that person and not trying to help that person, that's Vaishnava aparadha also. We can call it a protection of community, we can call it a protection of this and that, but if we go deeper in the heart, if we feel a little bit taste, if we see that our mind is enjoying in telling bad about somebody, that's a Vaishnava aparadha. Now, I want to give you a few examples from the past regarding some people committing Vaishnava aparadhas and how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dealing with that and which kind of advices he were giving to the Vaishnavas to overcome that stage. I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is really heavy with Vaishnava aparadhas, I should tell you that. When I did research for this lecture, I was stunned. I was completely surprised how heavy he was. I mean, I was familiar with the Jaga and Madai case, right? In the case where you have Jaga and Madai just close to this place, it happened that Jaga and Madai attacked Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to punish them heavily. Then Nityananda was the one who saved them. And that was great. That was amazing. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his mercy also. And in the end, they became devotees. I mean, there was devotees from before. They just committed certain, you know, mistakes. But, for example, it was a big surprise for me. And honestly, I didn't know. I should admit to you that, you know, one of the personalities that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is closest is actually Sachimata, Sachidevi. His mother. He likes her. You know, the great desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after he took sannyas was to go to Vrindavan, to spend a lot of time in Vrindavan, you know, basically to stay there for the rest of his life. Just because Vrindavan is so far away from Mayapur, from here, from Navadvip, devotees came and they told him, you know, the habitats of Mayapur is going to be very sad. And they will feel a lot of pain if you go so far away. And in that time, they didn't have planes. They didn't have Purva Express or whatever, Duronto. They could not go that fast to Vrindavan. You know, you have to take some cows and a lot, plenty of food. And you have to go through some even dangerous areas to reach Vrindavan. That was 500 years ago. You know, it took them, you know, almost 1 month to reach Jagannath Puri from here. You know, what to speak about going to Vrindavan. So it was very hard. And there's bigger chance that maybe if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes so far away, then you're not going to see him for the rest of your life. And here, habitants of Mayapur, they already developed so much attraction towards the Lord, so they could not live like that. But even that was not enough to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he still had a desire. Until they didn't tell him how much Sachimata is suffering because he's leaving, because he's going, because he's not going to be here. You know, when some devout people suffer around, it's one thing, but when your mother is suffering, then it's really serious, you know. And Sachimata was not ordinary mother, right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally decided, okay, I will stay closer. So he decided that his residence built in Jagannath Puri. And he was coming, in beginning at least, when he was traveling to South India, coming back, he was coming to different coasts. I mean, to Navadvip, that time the name of that place was Kulia. You know, he was coming there and watching Sachimata, who was on the other side of Ganges. You know those two Ghats connection we have here? We're going by boat. So you can imagine a scene from 500 years ago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is standing on the other side with devotees as sannyasi. He cannot come to this city because sannyasi usually is taking vow that they're not going back to the place from where they belong, from the old attachments, you know, where they are born actually. And he was standing there and she was standing here and, you know, they were just watching him, his previous wife and another devotees from here. They was just watching him and he was watching them. But that was enough of interaction. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much attached to Sachimata, Sachi Devi. But even to her, one time he came and told her, and I don't want to speculate. He told Sachimata, you can never go back to Godhead and you can never attain the mercy of Krishna because you have committed an offense against Sri Advaita Acharya in your mind. To Sachimata, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Well, that was wow to me, I should tell you honestly, because first of all, it's Sachi Devi. Second of all, after I was reading what's really happened, it was not that bad. And the third of all, it was in the mind. Right? In the mind. She never even spoke about that. But because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is in our hearts. He could hear. And what he told her, you will never go back to Godhead, to his own mother, because she committed Vaishnava Parad. That far away goes Vaishnava Parad. What's really happened? Years and years before that, the brother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vishwarup, he wanted to become sannyasi. But how he developed desire to become sannyasi is by going to the house of Advaita Acharya. He was listening to Srimad Bhagavan there, he was taking a part of kirtans there, and he developed a pure attachment for devotional path. He wanted to be devotee for the rest of his life. He didn't care about, you know, material benefits, he didn't care about anything else, he just wanted to become sannyasi. And after he became, since he took sannyas, even after Sachimata was trying hardly to keep him at home, because his older son, he should take care about mother, he should get married, he should have a children, he should stay at home. He still decided to become sannyasi, and he took sannyas, and she put the whole blame to Advaita Acharya in her mind. She didn't spoke about that to anyone. She just said it's Advaita Acharya's fault that Vishwarupa took sannyas. After many, many years, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his mother and told, you will never go back to Godhead because you commit offense towards Advaita Acharya. You're fallen. You commit a Vaishnava Parad. And then it was amazing, you know, when I was reading this story, I was thinking, okay, how Sachimata is going to react now? Because I was thinking, if somebody tell me something like this, I will freak out and I will try, you know, trying to do some things, whatever. Sachimata asked two perfect questions to the Lord. And, you know, she gave us the really great example how we can go out of that most fallen stage. That personally Lord comes to you and telling you, you will never go back to me. Never, never, ever. It's finished with you. There is one more case later I will tell you when he's telling to pure devotee, not pure, that time he was not pure, sorry. He's telling that for millions and millions of lives you will suffer from lepra. Millions and millions of lives in the same pain, in the same stage of your body. It's amazing. So Sachimata came to the Lord and asked him one very logical question. So first question was, what have I done? Right? It's a very logical question because you don't know how you commit offense. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to her the whole case, what's happened and about her state. Maybe even she forgot about that until that time. But, you know, offense is offense. It stays there. And then, next question after explanation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, now, what do I have to do to atone this offense? That was the second question. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased because she doesn't want to keep that offense somewhere in the heart. She wants to go out of that stage. And he gave her a perfect answer on the perfect question. And listen to this. The only way to atone this offense is that you must, with your heart in state of great humility, desiring true forgiveness, you must take the dust from the feet of Sri Advaita Acharya. I will repeat one more time. It's so perfect. You must, with your heart in the state of great humility, desiring true forgiveness, you should take dust from the feet of Sri Advaita Acharya. He explains her later, more down, that this is only way. There is no other way. He also explains that the Lord cannot forgive. Only devotee can forgive. It's not possible to come to the Lord and say, okay, my dear Lord, I made offense to certain devotee, to such and such personality, and please forgive me. Because the Lord is not the one who's supposed to forgive. We didn't offend him. I mean, indirectly we did, but we offend another Vaishnava. And we have to take dust from the lotus feet. This is the only way, no other way. There are many examples like that. I found more than 20 in just 1 hour. Same thing, you have to take dust of lotus feet of the Vaishnava. It's amazing. I mean, Krishna will help if we pray to him. It's not that we should not pray. Please don't take me in the wrong way. But we have to take action after Krishna is telling us what to do and how to do it. So, because it was not possible that Advaita Acharya was, you know, watching Sachimata as one very, very high personality. He saw her as his mother also, as the mother actually, not his mother, the mother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a supreme mother. It was not possible for him to allow her to take dust from his lotus feet. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu helped her. He told her, okay, here is the plan. I will call Advaita Acharya and I will show him my beautiful form. And until he's, you know, trying, he's full in the bhava, in ecstasy, in divine love towards me, because he will be a little bit here, but not so much here. You just go down, bend down, take the dust and put on your head. So Sachidevi did it. Sachimata did it. And Advaita Acharya was a little bit angry in the beginning. But then later Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to him what's happened. And he said, no, that's fine. I mean, it's for Sachimata, so it's okay. It's fine. So that far away Vaishnava brother goes. So even that, that's such a pure personality as Sachimata, they're suffering from that. It's really, really serious. I don't know, it's 8:05. Do we have time for one more story or we have to go down? What time is Darshan? Can you? So, do we have time for one short story? Okay, this is one of the most amazing story I ever read. It's about one amazing person, Gopal Chapala. You heard about Gopal Chapala? He was a Brahmana, very special Brahmana. You know, there are many very special Brahmanas, especially in that time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, the Mayapur or Navadvip city in that time, it was a center of education. So they had many different kind of schools, but those schools in that time was a little bit different than these schools today. It was more spiritual schools and they had many Brahmanas here around. So the Gopal Chapala was also one Brahmana, like one respected person. And, you know, he was, when the whole devotion toward Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started developing around, Shivas Thakur became very famous also around as the person who is very close to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and somebody who is really pure and somebody who is, you know, somebody who deserves respect. But in the Gopal Chapala's eyes, he was just the person who came from Bangladesh with another brothers. They start living here and they, you know, what is this? Somebody just coming, bam, bam, everybody respects him. I'm here for years. I'm Brahmana. I'm quite pure. I'm chanting my mantras every day. Nobody respects me. So what he tried to do, I mean, it's not that he tried. He did it. He took certain paraphernalia that you worship Lord Durga Devi, and there are special kind of paraphernalia for tantric worship of Mother Durga. Certain sampradayas are doing that still even today. So what he did, he took the whole plate with paraphernalia in the middle of night, he put in front of the door of Shivas Thakur house. That, you know, another people comes, they figure out, okay, he's worshiping Mother Durga, he's tantric, he's not bona fide. So what's happened? In the morning, Shiva Thakur fortunately was the first one who opened the door. He saw that paraphernalia, and you know, he was surprised. But then it's not that he took the paraphernalia and he hid it. No, he called everyone and he told them, okay, here is the plate, and I'm worshipper of Durga, I'm tantric, I'm not for this yoga, I'm not for this place. And everybody started laughing because they knew Shiva Thakur, he's pure soul. Then nobody didn't believe him. But then, a few days later, Gopal, our famous Brahmana, he got lepra. He started having a heavy disease. And he went on the bank of Ganges because nobody didn't want to keep him in the house. And he was there days and days. And disease getting worse and worse. Everything started coming out from his body. In one time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing by with another Vaishnavas. And he was begging Gauranga for mercy. Please give me a mercy. I offend your devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in that moment, he saw that he still doesn't have a pure heart and pure desire. And if you give him recovering, he will not take that serious. He said, no. You have to stay here and you're going to die. You're going to born again. And you're going to suffer for millions of lives for what you did to Shiva Thakur. He just stays there. Disease start going more and more. After a few months, couple of months later, again Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking. That time Shiva Thakur was with him and a couple more devotees. They were walking on the bank of Ganges, and they saw him. And this time he didn't even approach. He was afraid. If I approach him, he will curse me for a few more millions of lives. Better to be careful. You know, a few millions, it's okay. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached him and asked him, okay, how are you? He said, you know, I really feel bad. This punishment which you gave me is not enough. How big sins I commit. It's not enough. And I'm accepting completely with full my heart. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, I cannot forgive you. There is only one person here who can forgive you. That's Shiva Thakur. Then Shiva Thakur looked at him and said, I forgive from the first moment. I don't have to forgive anything. It's already forgiven. Then Gopal, he took the dust from his lotus feet, and disease went away after maybe 15, 16 days, as I heard there. And he recovered completely and he became the great devotee, the great Vaishnava, the great personality. So there is a chance, there is a way, if there is desire, if we feel the need. Thank you very much for coming today. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vaishnava Thakur ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.